General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Courage, says the Oxford Dictionary, is to be brave, to be bold. One requires courage to nerve oneself to a venture. Dutch courage can be induced by drinking. Courage. But what is it? I once saw a young Catholic girl plunge both her hands into a fire to save a rosary some religious fanatic had flung there. I've seen men exhibit remarkable courage in battle. But, say the experts, bravado of this type is akin to cowardice. The dividing line is a very thin one. My story tonight illustrates a kind of courage. You must judge for yourself whether or not Tony Alexander was a coward who wished to conquer his phobia, or a weakling whose fears would always loom large. Tony was an entomologist. He was the man who feared spiders. Alexander drank morning coffee at a folding camp table beneath an okume tree in the Gaboon district of French Equatorial Africa. He stared, glassy-eyed, at a green and yellow spider dangling 18 inches in front of his face. His clean-shaven upper lip and the tip of his big nose were white. The insect man was petrified.
The spider's harmless, Tony.
Hmm? I know. Doesn't matter whether they're poisonous or not, they fill me with intolerable fear. Ooh. That's one reason why I'm in West Africa, to whip this fear. Sometimes I think I've overcome it, then I see something like a spider and...
Have some coffee.
Hmm? I will, thanks.
I've guided men with many kinds of phobias. Fear of horses, fear of things falling on top of them, fear of dead bodies, and several who feared blood.
With me, it's just... spiders.
The insect, hanging over the table, suddenly squirted silk from its spinnerets and plummeted to the tabletop.
Oh. Your fear seems so great, Tony, I think this trip might be a mistake. The rain's been heavy. The lowlands where we're heading there are chock full of things that crawl and creep and... Shall we call it off?
No. If this phobia, as you call it, stops me now, I'll never beat it. No, we'll go on. You see, this is why I became what I am.
An entomologist.
In defense, I suppose.
Okay, fine. I just thought I'd... Anyway, we start upriver tomorrow.
Brossard shouldered his rifle and went in search of a buck for supper. He took Lagoni, his head boy. Tony Alexander busied himself constructing his insect trap. This was a canvas sheet, 6 by 9 feet. It was erected like a sail. When firelight played upon it, the thing became luminescent, and insects came from all directions to cling to it. Their supper finished, the two men lit their pipes and drank a lot of tea, and watched the flying things bang into the canvas sail.
Now, what are you doing with that?
Spray, like this. See? They fall onto the ground and I sort them out.
With your fingers?
They're dead. Oh, they're quite a collection here.
Ah! Oh, God! Get out there! Get out there! Ah! Ah! Johnny!
Wrapped around Alexander's finger was one of the most devilish-looking animals in Africa. A whipped scorpion, the size of a poker.
It's all right, Johnny. Your supper is sharp. Shut up a minute. Lie down, I'll cover you. I'll cover you. No, no. Lie down with it. Here. Okay.
What was it?
Whip scorpion.
It bit me.
They're not poisonous.
This isn't the place for me, Prasad. I'm not even half a man. Was it gone?
You want to see it?
See it? Yes. Yes.
It did. Here, see? I trod on it. Two deaths on that table tonight. That's where it fell. Right next to the spider, or what's left of it. You see?
Eight legs.
The front pair aren't legs at all. They're whips.
Whips? Must be 30 inches long.
The fangs are along the inner edges, see? The prey never escapes. It's held. The scorpion sucks it dry.
I got away.
You're a bit on the large side.
Back three legs are all bent at the joints. Look. Seems that he's going to spring. There are more insects than I'll ever catalogue. Oh, I'm sorry. You must think I'm a...
Don't think anything. I've never laughed at a man's fears. But look, Alex. No. Beat that fear. Next time you see a whip scorpion, pick it up. No, I mean that. Pick it up.
I know you do. Pick it up. All right, I will.
Brossard planned to take Alexander to a small sandy valley up on one of the tributaries of the Ogui. The place would be swarming with frogs, toads, shrews, land crabs, scorpions, centipedes, wasps, and spiders. That night, he was resolved to helping his client. But the next morning, well, he thought more about it.
Alex, you're a pretty sick man when your phobia acts up like it did last night. I'd like to see you be...
Please, my mind's made up. I'm scared to death, but I've made up my mind to see this thing through. Don't say anything to make me weaken now.
Okay. A break, camp.
They set out for the red water Ogui. Death was to dust their feathers, but they didn't know that at the time. It was wonderful country for the zoologist. Giant squirrels, snakes, small antelope, okapis, red buffalo. But Alexander concentrated on butterflies, mosquitoes, wasps, bees and ants. He studied spiders, too, particularly those that drape sheets of web over bushes.
I've lain every day for months on psychoanalysts' couches, trying to find some childhood association that might account for my fear of spiders, but there seems to be no reasonable explanation. When a spider touches me, I sweat, my heart pounds. If I hold one in my hand for more than a second, I vomit.
They hit the tributary on the third day and followed it northeast. Shortly before sunset on that third day, they looked down on the little valley from the top of a lone, treeless hill. Where once had been firm ground, a lake shone like copper in the dying sun. They chose a campsite, and Brossard walked around the lake, looking for the streams that fed it. There were none. He knew that lake for what it was, a sheet of water overlying quicksand.
The water's only about 2 inches deep, covers quicksands. Everyone to stay away from it. Don't even put one foot on it. I'd better warn the boys. Okay, Alex?
Sure.
He told them. They drew aside and talked amongst themselves for a few minutes, and then Lagoni approached his master.
What is it, Lagoni?
Pay us, master, and we will go.
Go?
Yes.
What do you mean, go? You're engaged at the end of the trip. What's upset you?
The sands, master.
It's only quicksands. It can't hurt you if you stay away from it. We'll talk about it in the morning.
But when morning came, Lagoni and his porters were gone.
I'll stick around a couple of days. If they don't come back, I'll go downriver and pick up a gang of Bakotos. Bakotos aren't so superstitious. Hope you like squirrel, Alex. I've walked all day today, but never got close to anything bigger. So, with the confidence of me and my 22, squirrel sup.
That'll be fine.
Have you noticed all around the lake, grass is coarse, grows right to the edge. But the trees and bushes seem to shrink back, as if they're afraid of something. I've always thought there's a lot to the natives' belief in trees and things having souls. What's up? How do you eat? What are you doing?
Some sort of spore. What?
Porcupine. Bushtail. Look, see the hollow over there? A sort of cave underneath the tree. The silk cotton tree.
Oh, that's where he's gone?
Yeah. We'll see if we can get him alive tomorrow. Too dark now.
About that squirrel.
The insect trap glowed warmly in the firelight. Beetles crashed into it and fell stunned at its base. And, exactly as had happened four nights before, a whip scorpion shuffled close, grabbed a beetle, and darted towards the cave where the brush tail had holed up.
Alex, what do you plan to do when you see another whip scorpion? What are you going to do if you see a scorpion?
Well, pick it up, I suppose.
Don't you know for sure?
Yes, I'll pick it up.
Okay. The time's come.
What?
There's a whip scorpion in the hollow under that tree. Go and get it. Alex?
Yes, I will tomorrow.
No. Now.
Now?
Yes. Now.
Give me a little time. Goggles. I'm not going to crawl into that hole without goggles. Goggles? Okay.
Goggles are okay.
Alexander's goggles were held snugly around the head with a wide elastic band. He held his hands before him, looked at them carefully, then, picking up a flashlight, he turned the beam on the mouth of the big hollow and strode towards it stiff-legged. He lay on his belly and crawled into the opening, only his feet being visible when his light went out. There was a moment of silence. Alexander backed out and rushed blindly into the sail-like insect trap.
Alex! Alex!
Brossard grabbed the frightened man, turned him round, and then almost screamed himself. A 10-inch West African spider was clinging to Tony Alexander's face. Pawed at the spider. Ross had tried to help, but he broke away, and seizing the creature with both hands, he pulled. The beast came away in his hands, all but one leg, which was caught in the headband of the goggles. Ross had reached for the spider leg.
Alex, stand still for the love of... Alex!
At that moment, the other man ducked and ran blindly towards the quicksand. Ross had grabbed the flashlight and followed.
Tony! Stop! Tony! Tony, I say! Stop! Stop! Tony!
At the edge of the sands, Brossard held the torch on him. He was already 30 feet out. He stood erect, his back to the hunter, still fighting the spider leg. The water was almost to his knees.
Life, flatten your back, Tony! Lie down, blast it! Down!
Alexander half turned towards him, and he saw the spider leg hurled away.
Lie down! Lie on your back and spread your arms wide!
I held that leg in my hands, did you see?
To blazes of the leg. Are you sane now?
I'm all right. I'm just shaking.
Well, stop shaking or you'll shake yourself down to the bottom of the sand trap. Lie on your back. Spread your arms. Lie perfectly still.
Alexander threw himself backward so hard that water splashed around him in sheets.
Don't make another move. Don't talk. Just listen to me. Don't try to pull your legs out of the sand. Don't.
If I just...
Shut up! I can get you out if you do exactly as you're told. Now, when I ask you a question... Just answer yes or no. You hear me?
Yes.
Are you over your fright?
Something's happened to me. I'm not even nervous.
Have you had any experience with quicksand? Yes or no?
No.
Will you panic if you start sinking deeper?
Nothing will ever frighten me again.
Are you sinking now?
A little, maybe. Not much.
If you're sinking, it's because you're talking. Stick to yes or no. There's no reason to panic. Remember, if you can float in water, you can float in quicksand. Now keep your arms spread wide. Wide, Alex, wide. Keep your chest up. Keep it filled with air. Forget your legs. I'll tell you when to try and pull them out. You listening to me?
Yes.
I'm going back to get a rope. You all right?
Yes.
But there was no rope in camp. The porters had taken the only two they had.
Blasted stuff won't come loose. Knock a platform together. He'd struggle if he does that. He sounds sane enough, but it might be shock. If he starts screaming again, he'll go under, sure. It'll have to be the hard way.
Rossard returned to the sands. He flashed the spot where he believed Alexander to be. There was nothing but still water.
Alex!
And then the beam found him. He lay as still as death.
Alex! Listen!
No answer.
Alex! I'm coming in after you. But first I'm going to throw a pole out to you. Hey! Hey, do you hear me, Alex?
No answer.
How bad.
He played the beam over the man. He was sinking at the hips.
Closest idea threw it to him. My own. On the water, one end near the shore.
The other reaching towards Alexander.
He's 30 feet out at least. Pole's only 12 at most. Have to move twice. But don't hurry, brother. Calm. Calmly. You must.
He placed the flashlight on the ground and lay down on the firm bank. The sapling in the water was at right angles to his hips. Then Brossard rolled into the quicksand. He rolls over and over on the sapling. Two complete turns, the man in the sand on the sapling. Then he lays on his back, his arms outstretched. He rests.
Feet sinking a couple of inches. Ease them out ever so gently.
He rolls again. And again he rests. He looks up at the sky. The sky begins to lighten. A yellow gibbous moon peeps above the ragged tree line on the hill. He rolls again. Off the sapling this time, he lays, floating, unsupported.
Move the sapling across chest towards top of my head. Arms up. I'm thinking. Brossard. No hurry. Don't hurry. No. Slowly.
He lifts his head slightly and draws the sapling under it. Now it is stopped by the back of his head.
One arm over the sapling. Under shoulder blade.
He rests and then pulls the sapling under his other shoulder blade.
Feet down 12 inches. Must wing them up. Now work the pole down under hips.
He rolls and rests and rolls and rests until now he is within 12 feet of the other man. Suddenly.
Lie still, Alex! Still! What are you doing? Don't get up. Lie still, you son of a... Tony!
I know where I am. The water's over my belly now.
Listen, there's no need for me to come closer. There's a pole here for you. I'm going to try and push it under you.
Yes.
Don't try to move till I tell you. Got that?
I got it.
He rose once more to reach the other sapling. He thanks the powers that be for the moon and its bright light. The pole touches Tony Alexander.
Feel it, Alex?
Yeah, I feel it.
Now move one hand slowly. Get the pole under the small of your back. Got it? Now, gently lift your belly.
It won't lift. My hips just sink deeper.
Brassard is sinking deeper himself, but he takes a chance and pushes. And the pole goes under Alexander. Easily.
Reach out and get hold of a pole on each side of you, Alex. Work it slowly under your hips. Then rest. Rest a long time. Don't use your hands after you get the pole in place. Don't worry about your feet. Keep your arms stretched out. I'm going back to tear that insect trap into strips, make a rope, and pull you out. Can you stick it?
I'm all right, I think.
You can't sink with that pole under you. If you stay still.
And Brossard makes the long journey back, resting longer and longer as strength ebbs fast. At last, he makes it. The canvas sheet is cut in strips. A rope is fashioned. A 12-inch piece of wood is tied to one end. The other end of the rope is around the waist of the hunter.
Please let this reach him.
It falls across the man in the sands.
Okay, do what I tell you and work fast. Untie the wood and tie the rope around one wrist. Tight. Be sure it's tight. If it slips off, you're a goner, right?
Okay. You can pull my arm off. This rope won't come untied.
Start working your legs to the surface. Move first one, and then the other. Just a fraction at a time. Is the pole still under your hips?
Yes. And my arms wide.
The man on the firm bank talks to the man in the sand. Encourages him. For the other must not work fast at the freeing of the legs.
Easy does it. Take all night if you want. Gentle water pressure from underneath. Floats sand so each grain is suspended free. Queer stuff, quicksand. There's no traction because the water pressure exactly balances the pressure of the sand. Take the pressure away and the water comes to the surface. The sand settles and becomes firm. A month from now, when the underground water's dried up, you'll be able to walk across this lake. Did you know, if you pull a cow or an antelope out of the sand, he'll charge you the minute his feet hit firm ground. A horse won't do that.
I'm all in. I can't keep on. I've got my legs straight up, and my feet are only down about 6 inches now. Got pains in my chest. I can't breathe.
All right. I'm going to start pulling now. If you've ever struggled, struggle now.
Suddenly, no strain upon the rope.
Alex!
But the rope hasn't broken. Alexander is within a few feet of the bank. Brossard sees him and pulls frantically as the other man shoots forward. Brossard examines the wrist of Tony Alexander. It's cut to the bone. He pours antiseptic into the torn flesh and bandages it and tapes it.
That'll have to do if we get to Libreville, Tony. Tony?
But Tony Alexander doesn't answer. he is in the deep sleep that follows exhaustion. Tonight's safari was a true one. The events I have described took place 9 or 10 years ago. The adventure was recounted to me by Alexander Lake. Before I say goodnight, something the playwright William Saroyan said, "Man is an actor. He acts all manner of men, and each one is a lie. Only the animal in him is real."
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.